Hello and welcome to, nay I say, the second episode of the recently rebranded Sensational Comic Brothers podcast. I am here today, your host Matt, and I am joined by not my own brother, but a brother from another mother who has a brother, Talon.
Wanda. I'm back.
And Talon is fresh out of an Endgame viewing.
This is true.
So, how are you feeling about that?
Are we allowed to talk about it?
I don't care.
Okay.
We don't. People don't tune in for that kind of stuff
okay,
anymore.
Okay. So first things first. I didn't like it as much as Infinity War. That's thing number one. Okay. But still very good. Number two, I'm confused about how he got the shield back from the past to the present.
I thought about the same thing.
It didn't make sense to me.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, wait a second.
So
if his present is now in the past, and then he didn't have a shield, but if he took the shield, then he wouldn't have the shield later.
The way that I took it was that I've just been kind of thinking about it and making it up in my head, so I don't know if this is actually the case, but like when he takes the shield, he creates an alternate timeline, and then he went back to, like, he wasn't sitting on the bench the whole time, like, he actually went back.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I think
so. Now there's, like, there is an alternate timeline where he doesn't have the shield.
Oh.
That's the only thing that would make sense to me.
Yeah, they've done some verbal gymnastics to try and explain some of this stuff, and
It's not helping.
I just am kind of like, you know what? I'm just going to kind of take it at face value and not think too hard about it, because I don't know that it would work otherwise.
But I would thought it was very good, very well done. A lot of the newer characters like didn't really have any screen time or anything to do.
No, like not at all.
Like literally, like Black Panther just shows up and just stands there and like nods, and that's really it.
He says his little chant, but yeah, that's like the extent of his return. And then Spider-Man, you know, like there for like 15 seconds and then he's gone.
Yep. Captain Marvel's only there for literally maybe 1 minute.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. She was supposed to be the new leader, and yeah, she led the team in shortest appearance in a Marvel movie.
Yep.
I was quite shocked.
The other thing that I had a problem with, and I didn't start thinking about it until your brother texted me. How did he return the Soul Stone? Like, did he fight Red Skull? Or like what happened? Did he literally just throw it on the ground? Like he just went there, threw it on the ground, was like done, and then left and peaced out.
Okay, so I'm putting a spoiler tag at the very beginning of this episode, like, so people know, and I'll put a little warning at the very beginning. But, okay, so I was thinking about this. If he has the stones, right, like, most of the stones were in different things. So, like, the Reality Stone was the Aether, the Mind Stone was in the Scepter, the Tesseract, et cetera, et cetera. How did he get those stones back into the containers they were in?
I don't know. I have no clue.
So, like, I was thinking, like, okay, the Soul Stone. Like, what did he do? He just, like, walks over and just throws it over the cliff and is like, okay.
Cool, he's done.
just, like, flips it, like, a quarter into, like, into a fountain or something. He's like, all right, cool. I just, There's, if when you think too hard about it, logistically, some of this just, you know, surprisingly doesn't make sense.
It did. I actually had the reverse thought of that. Like, when they grab, like, the Tesseract. Like, how did they get it out of the cube?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, well, and there is the whole element that you can't, that nobody was able to hold the stones. And then in this movie, everybody could just hold a stone. Because remember, Peter Quill could almost died. The only reason he was able to hold the stone, the power stone, was because he was a celestial.
Yep.
Or part celestial.
Yep.
And now it's just like, oh, you know Hawkeye, that regular human? Yeah, he just picks up a stone, no big deal.
Yeah, but, I mean, aside from all that, from those lingering plot threads, I thought it was very good. I enjoyed it.
It was a really good. I should say that too.
It wasn't as good ending. As Infinity War, but it was still good.
No, I think Infinity War is probably more meaningful just because of the impact that story had and just how it was. It's just a different story than you normally. You don't normally see a movie where the heroes are like absolutely devastated and completely lost. I mean, it does happen. Obviously, Empire Strikes Back comes to mind.
But, yeah, I was going to say it's basically their Empire Strikes Back.
But it was really cool. That end fight was pretty epic, and it was actually pretty phenomenal, comparative with Game of Thrones, which actually happened that same weekend. A fight that you could see and tell what was going on.
I saw it perfectly fine.
I have a 4K OLED TV. It was great.
I do. How do you know that?
I figured that was the only way that you would be able to see it correctly.
Yeah, I do. I have a 4K TV and I saw everything perfectly fine.
I have true blacks.
I would give the movie 0 out of 10 simply because Venom wasn't in it. So if we're holding that aside, I would give it a solid 8 out of 10. Maybe 8.7. 8.7 out of 10. If it had Venom, it'd be a 10 out of 10.
It was definitely an A. No, hopefully they snapped him out.
Not as good as Venom. Not as good as Venom. Almost as good as Venom.
Well, Tom Hardy aside, we are here for a very specific reason this week. Not to spoil Avengers Endgame for anybody listening. Actually, this episode's not coming out for like 2 more weeks, so, or maybe even almost a month. But anyways, we're actually here to talk about a series from a writer that is near and dear to Talon's heart. A series called Black Hammer.
Attention on the show floor. The trade show will be starting now. I repeat, the trade show will be starting now.
So, this is a Dark Horse series. We, unlike Endgame, are going to set aside the spoilers till the end. So, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, just make sure you check the time codes. But we will be spoiling aspects of the book. We're going to try and dance around them as best we can until we get towards the end. But things might get spoiled in the interim. So, if you want to go in fresh, read the book, come back, listen. So, with that said, Talon.
Yes.
What do you think about this book? Where do you think about this book? How do you think about this book? I know you have a lot of thoughts. Do you know kind of the credits for this book?
Yes, I do. The book is written by the hardest working man in comics, Jeff Lemire. And the artist is Dean Ormston?
I think it's Ormston.
I think it's Ormston. Who I'm not really familiar with besides from Black Hammer.
Okay.
But Jeff Lemire, I read everything he does.
So Jeff Lemire from our dear neighbors to the north, from Essex County in Canada. That'll come back in a second here. As Talon mentioned, he is a hardworking guy. He has more books than I care to list off to his bibliography, but most notably Essex County, Sweet Tooth. He's done some work on Moon Knight, Old Man Logan.
The best run on Moon Knight.
And a series that you probably might be familiar with because that episode's coming out, but we haven't recorded it yet. His work is on The Valiant with Paolo Rivera and Bloodshot Reborn most recently.
And have you guys talked about Gideon Falls?
No.
Ooh, okay, yeah, we gotta talk about that too eventually.
Okay.
It's probably like one of my favorite, it's top five Image books coming out right now for me.
Okay, well, let's save that to the end, bring it up. Then we have Dean Ormston, who is the artist. He's from Yorkshire, England, and he's notable for his work at 2000 AD, which is kind of like a sci-fi magazine / comic, like an anthology kind of series. Yeah, it's Judge Dredd magazine, actually, is another thing that they call it now, I think. I don't know who owns it. It's like, it's gone through, it's
isn't
old.
It, isn't
it's
it been around for a long time. Is it Rebellion?
Rebellion. Yeah. And he's also, his work on Harkin Burr, which is a British comic book series. So this book was originally conceived all the way back in 2007. And Jeff Lemire is not only a writer, he's an artist, and was originally going to write and draw this book after Essex County was done. And then, as Talon mentioned earlier, he had like 20 books he was writing. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but not far. And still wanted to do the book, but couldn't, realize he couldn't do the art. So they brought in Dean Ormston, and unfortunately, Dean Ormston suffered a massive stroke, or a hemorrhage, cerebral hemorrhage. And the book was delayed a year, and have ultimately released in July 2016, and promptly won an Eisner the following year. Much deservedly so, which is the reason why we're talking about this. So, Talon, do you want to give us a little bit of a rundown of the synopsis of the book? Who are the characters? What's the story about?
Yeah, so Black Hammer is basically, I don't want to say exactly because it's not exactly, but I would say it's more, and I don't want to say a ripoff, but it's more of an, it's the starting of a new superhero universe that's, should I say inspired? I'll say inspired. Inspired by DC Comics.
Okay.
Like old school DC Comics. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think there's a lot of inspiration from a lot of different books. Namely, the Twilight Zone episode, like five characters trapped in a room.
Totally. It's very, like, it's not a traditional superhero book. It's very, one word is weird.
I think that's part of the charm.
Yeah, part of it. Yeah, definitely. Where do I go? Basically, do you want me to give like a,
give you a list
how it starts off?
I give you, let's give them the rundown. So it's six characters, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, six characters.
Yep.
Trapped in, well, as we come to find out, they're trapped in a town called Rockwood. They cannot leave. The town appears to be stuck in time. And these are all characters who are allegories of certain superheroes that you know from mainstream comics, and they are just kind of living this life that how many years have they, did they specify how long they've been there?
I'm trying to remember. I honestly don't remember how long.
Because I think Gail said it's like her third time going through the ninth, third grade or something like that, or something crazy. So they've been there a while.
Yeah. When it starts, they've clearly been there for a while. They have a whole farm set up. All the townspeople know them. They're definitely not there by choice. They're stranded, and it's clearly taken a toll on everyone.
On everybody's mental health to quite an extent. So our point of view characters are Abraham Slam, who is basically a Captain America without any super soldier serum. And his real name is, I love this, Abraham Slamkowski.
Abraham Slamkowski. It's like Blackagar Boltigan. It's great.
Yeah, exactly.
10 out of 10.
Well, I forget what his, the guy who trained him was, but it's equally as ridiculous. We've got Madame Dragonfly, who... I don't know who this would be most. I thought maybe like Raven from Teen Titans.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was thinking, yeah, definitely Raven. Maybe like a little bit of Enchantress.
Yeah. She's a witch who lives in a cabin at the edge of the farm they all live at. We've got Golden Gale, who is a 55-year-old woman trapped in a 9-year-old girl's body. She is a reverse Shazam allegory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and she gets her powers when she calls upon the wizard Zafram. We've got Colonel Randall Weird. And
my favorite
character. This is the one I had the hardest time kind of finding the allegory. So I think it's kind of like a Dead Man / Mr. Fantastic. But I feel like there's another layer there that I'm not realizing.
I would definitely say Dead Man. And then I would definitely... I don't know about Mr. Fantastic, though. I would probably say... Dead Man, because he's not as smart as Mr. Fantastic.
I meant more in the exploratory sense, like the exploration.
Yeah, he definitely has that explorer thing. He also has like a weird pulp science fiction vibe to him too. It's pretty great.
Yeah,
he's definitely my favorite character in the whole series.
He's Yeah, he's time traveling through the he went through the Parazone years in the 60s, and then he's been kind of popping in and out of time ever since. We have his trusty sidekick, Talkie Walkie, who is a sentient robot that he stumbled upon, Colonel Weird stumbled upon during one of his explorations before he went through the Parazone. And finally, rounding out the team is Barbalian, or Mark Marks, who, clearly, if you can't figure out from that name, it's a
Martian Manhunter. Okay.
Yeah, John Johns.
Yeah.
And he's a alien who, I love this. He shows up on Earth with a severed astronaut's head because that was like their custom, I think. He didn't understand that that was like very disturbing. And then he quickly takes over a dead police officer's role or bot, not body, but he takes over their identity.
Yeah, their life. Yeah.
And yeah, definitely a Martian Manhunter. So the story centered around all these characters. They're stuck in Rockwood. And all we know is that there was a Black Hammer at some point, but we don't know what happened to him for the first six issues. But these characters are all thrown there after what's called the Cataclysm, which is this event that they where they fought what's called the Anti-God. Were all called upon.
It's a combination of the Anti-Monitor. And
Darkseid.
Darkseid, yeah. There we go.
And so this is not necessarily a lot of action story. I mean, we do get some action as you go throughout the series. You get to look back on who some of these characters were through flashbacks. But this is mostly just this character. It's like a bottle episode stretched out over 13 issues of these people living in this world trying to come to terms with the fact that they can't leave. And everybody's dealing with it in different ways. You know, we've got Barbalian is he's gay, and he's going through, you know, kind of wrestling with those feelings and coming out. We come to find out there's some backstory to why he's hesitant to come out, you know, again. And you've Golden Gale's an adult woman who cannot transform back into her adult body. And there's other characters that are going through different things, but it's this push and pull of all these characters just trying to, I don't even know if Stockholm syndrome is a good term, just like slow insanity.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. And then the only one trying to acclimate to everything is Abraham Slam. He's really the only one that has kind of accepted the fact that, you know, they're stuck there and they may not ever leave. So it's time to start a new life.
And, so you mentioned that Colonel Weird was your favorite.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about him for a minute?
About his origin or just about how awesome he is?
Let's just talk about him. Let's see where it goes.
Okay. So Colonel Weird, and his name is perfect because he's weird. He'll literally just float in one panel, and then he'll float out of the next panel.
And he's usually having a conversation midway through, or he's talking about something that has nothing to do with what everybody else is doing.
Yep, and then he'll just disappear. He'll just either evaporate or go through a portal, and then he'll just randomly pop up again. But you start to... I forget, did they explain... I honestly don't remember. Did they explain why he went crazy?
Yeah, it's a side effect of having gone through the Parazone.
That's right. And I really loved, by the way, his origin issue about how we met Talkie Walkie.
Mm-hmm.
I love the art style. It was total, like, pulp science fiction. It was so good. So good. He's definitely one of my favorite characters just because of that pulp feel to him. It's just really unique.
I gotta say, I want to get back to specific characters, but the art in this book is phenomenal. It works so well.
It's
with
amazing.
The aesthetic that go with they're going for, which is it's dreary. It's like the art is just frustrating just looking at it, and it's not like it's bad. It's just like it generates that. That emotion of just frustration, like you just feel that these characters are just like, want to just scream every 10 seconds because they don't know what's going on. They don't know why they're there and they can't get out. And it's just, they're just trapped.
Yeah. The art, and, honestly, like the art to me, it gives off like a weird, like eerie vibe.
Yes.
Like almost like a horror comic. That's what it feels like to me.
Yes, very much so. And it just, and it flies off the page because you've got six distinctive characters with six distinctive styles of archetypes that they're filling in a ways. Not all of them, but you've got, you know, the American flag waving Abraham Slam, who's this like really, who's a Captain America. He's like a pulp hero. And then you have this weird sci-fi Colonel Weird, and like all the aesthetics of all these characters are all meshed together in such a way in this farm, and they all mesh really well. I cannot believe what's so incredible to me is that Dean Ormston had this cerebral hemorrhage. I mean, he was paralyzed on the right side of his body. I believe he's a right-handed artist, paralyzed, couldn't move, and went through months of rehabilitation. Jeff Lemire stopped, they were supposed to release it, then they stopped for almost a year while he went through rehab, and he came back and he puts out something like this. Who like loses function in half their body, rehabs, and is still able to put something like this out?
That's incredible. Yeah. I'm curious too, maybe you know more about this than I do, but is that the same reason why there's been such a delay since issue 13, I believe?
So I guess we'll get a little bit more into it later, but I think that was the initial delay, but then I think he's just working on so much stuff. He's like,
oh, okay, so he's splitting Lemire, the load between projects. Lemire, he seems to
he's doing so much. He's doing a ton of work for Valiant. He's doing a lot of work for Marvel. Like the second he got done with DC, he moved over to Marvel, and was also working at Dark Horse, and. And then now he's expanding the brand into different books and different characters. We're still getting to see like Sherlock, Frankenstein, and Cthulhuese, and all these new characters. I just think he's just got so much to do. So we'll talk about it more in detail in a sec. But this series, the first initial series, is 13 issues, and it's Secret Origins is the first trade, and that's issues 1 through 6. With an annual at the end, and then the event, which is 7 through 13, and that ended the series. It ends on a cliffhanger, and then they just announced that the series was over. And then they came out and said, oh, we're doing Black Hammer Age of Doom. And it's this, like, I haven't read it yet, so I don't know. But they have 1 through 6 out now of Age of Doom, and then 7 through 13 are coming out, or 7 through 12 are coming out, at the end of this year in November. So I don't know. It's a very weird
I think
release,
they're definitely taking the, it sounds like to me, because I didn't know about that Age of Doom actually continued the story at all. I thought it was just another miniseries. It's worth noting that like since Black Hammer launched, it's basically become the new Hellboy. Like, it's spawning spin-off books set in the same universe left and right, which now that I know Age of Doom is a continuation, it definitely sounds like they're taking the Hellboy approach, where they're just coming out with different story arcs, like self-contained story arcs, and naming them different things like Seed of Destruction and stuff. So there's a chronological order to them, but they're all named different things.
Yeah.
It doesn't continue with like 14, 15, 16. It's just like another number 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, so you've read 1 through 13.
Yes, I've read 1 through 13. I read the Cthulhuese, and then I read the Sherlock Frankenstein. I know there's been more, I believe, than just
those. Oh yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
So, knowing this series, I want to get into some spoilers. I want to talk about where we think the series could go. Before we do that, knowing the series, knowing the characters, knowing the style, what kind of person would you recommend this book to?
I would recommend it to someone, honestly, who is just tired of the big two.
Mm-hmm.
They want to try something different. Maybe they're not ready to wade into the East of Wests in the world or the Black Monday murders of the world. They want something a little bit more in their comfort zone, but they just want to get out of that big two bubble where everything's safe and you can't really take risks with storytelling. So I would definitely give it to that person. It's like, hey, start here. And then they'll start their journey on to creative, creator-owned pieces from there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think you hit kind of the nail on the head earlier when you're talking about Hellboy. I think anybody coming from Hellboy, this is going to feel totally comfortable for you. You'll feel right at home. But I think, yeah, coming from any of the big two, if you've never read anything creator-owned, this is a good, this is a nice warm bath for you. It's very comfortable because you've got your archetypes of your main characters, but it's such a compelling story, and it's
It's like it's really unique that it's different than something from the big two. Yes, it's superheroes, but it has a completely different tone and a completely different vibe to everything.
Yeah, it's just so compelling to watch these characters and these character personalities trapped where they can't have these huge superheroic stories going on. And it's such a laser focus on character development in this book, which is what draws me back every time. But I think enough said. Go read the book. Go read the first two, Black Hammer, The Event, or Black Hammer, Secret Origins, or Black Hammer, The Event, which is the second trade. Go get those. Those are really, really good books.
And I have worth the time. I have the list here of all the spinoffs that are set in the same world. We have Sherlock Frankenstein, Dr. Star, that's one I haven't read, The Quantum Age, Black Hammer 45, which takes place in 1945, World War II, and then we have the Cthulhuese. We have, I don't know if this is the same one. Oh yeah, that's the same one as Dr. Star. Yeah, so and then it's only getting bigger from there. There's more coming. Oh, here we go. There's also Black Hammer and Justice League crossover happening.
Yeah, I saw those.
Coming, I think those are just came out, or they're on their way out. But yeah, it's just an ever-expanding universe, totally.
It'd be interesting to see how their power sets match up against some of the Justice League. Yeah, there's no gauge. There's no gauge for their power, like... I don't know, because we only get to see them kind of in their own world, so we don't know like what the range is. But anyways, go read the books. So if you haven't read the books, or if you don't care, we're gonna talk a little bit about spoilers from here on out. So just be forewarned. So Talon, what did you think about? I mean, what was your favorite arc? So far, I know you like Colonel Weird. Was there any other things that stood out to you that you've seen over the first two trades that really kind of grabbed you?
My favorite story arc would probably, besides Colonel Weird, would probably be Barbalian.
Yeah.
That was the one that really made the entire story more real for me.
Yeah, he's man, he's got a tragic story. It's really sad. Yeah, so he's an alien, and he's learning the ins and outs of this world. And
he looks like a Slim Jim with antenna.
Yeah, exactly. Like a shriveled Slim Jim. Yeah. More shriveled than normal.
Yep.
And he comes out as gay to his police partner. The police partner takes that very badly. And he's, like, shamed out of the police department. Like, he just leaves. And then now he's in this world, this, like, little microcosm of the world. And he takes that same risk he made last time. And is, not to the same extent, but he gets the same rejection.
From his, the priest at the local church.
Who, I think it's pretty safe to say this, the priest is probably gay too.
Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah, but I think the most compelling part about his story and that arc is how he's handling that. Because he ran away the last time, and he became, I think he became a private investigator when it happened to him, when he came out at the police department. And now he comes out and he gets rejected, but it seems like he's more taking it in stride this time.
It's also worth noting that he's the support system for Gale.
Yeah, so I was going to say Gale has been is probably my favorite part of this, because that is probably the most compelling situation to be in this world. She calls upon the wizard Zafram to become Golden Gale, and she, like Shazam, when she says the words, she becomes this different person. And unlike Shazam, she becomes a young girl, whereas Shazam becomes the older man. And even when she's well into her adulthood, she says the name and she becomes the girl. Well, she's the girl when the cataclysm happens, and she's stuck as the girl. And they live in this world where they have to fit in, and she's going to, I think she's in third grade.
Yeah, I think it's third grade.
So it, first off, it starts off comedic because she's just goes through these phases of just like, well, fuck it, I don't even care anymore. And she's like starts smoking and drinking at school.
I found that really funny, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, it was great. But then they kind of delve into like, she's stuck in this body. Like, she's really, that's gotta be not a good feeling. That's gotta, I mean, that would mentally break a lot of people, I have to imagine.
I mean, she talks about it too. She goes like, I miss sex. I miss having sex, and I'll never be able to again. It's just like, she can't, I guess she does drink, doesn't she?
Yeah, she drinks. No, she just doesn't do it at school.
Yeah.
But then she acts out the most too, which is probably the funnier parts. When Abraham has, what's her name? The girl, the waitress.
Oh, waitress, yeah.
And she comes out and she's just full goth. I love that about she's this, and it's funny because it's like, oh, that is what a kid would do, but then you have to remind yourself, oh, but she's like a full grown adult, and she's just like
acting out, trying just to act out.
She's just trying to hold on to like a little shred of sanity. I love that character. I can't wait to see. I hope they give her like some kind of spinoff of her own, or delve a little more into her story.
I hope so too. I really hope they actually, each character kind of gets their own minis, like a 5-issue series. That'd be cool.
Before?
Yeah, like before, like during the, I think they called it the Golden Age. Did they call it the Golden Age? I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah.
Yep, there's
Golden Age of Heroes or something like that.
Yeah, because this is what they call the Bronze. I mean, just like comic books, but.
Yep.
I want to know more about Black Hammer. Joseph Weber.
Yeah, so Black Hammer, he's basically like he's easily most comparable to Thor.
Yeah. He's like Thor / Orion.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's like from the new world. So it's like the new old and the new, or he like lives in the new gods world, but like his power set and everything is all Thor. And I want to see. I don't know. He just. I understand he's almost a plot device in certain ways, because he just is the mystery, like what happened. Like, but then we find out he just ran into the wall.
So, oh yeah, wait, we wouldn't bring that up at all. So we set up their trap in the town, but so they can't actually leave the town because there's a barrier, and so when the book starts, you hear about Black Hammer and how he died. You see the hammer. You don't really know what happened to him, but then you learn that he tried to leave the barrier, and that's how he died. And then we also didn't go over his daughter, who also plays a significant role in the story.
In the second half, that's the spoiler that I wanted to save, is just... Where does it go from there? Because so the whole second trade is her trying to find her father. She finds Taki's probe, right? She finds Taki's probe, And I'm pretty sure it's Frankenstein. Frankenstein helps her.
Yep.
He pays for her to search for her dad.
Yep.
Because I think that Frankenstein thinks that Gail, who he's in a relationship with, is with him.
Yeah.
And so
yep.
So she somehow, I think she goes through like the parazone, or at least it's implied it's like the parazone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she finds the hammer, picks it up, becomes the Black Hammer.
And then the book ends. Just pew, right there.
Okay, so I actually should back up. She lands, and then Madame Dragonfly wipes her mind.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like three issues of her trying to figure out. Then she picks up the hammer, and then she's like, I remember, and I know everything. And then the series ended, and then they announced that the book was over. But then they immediately followed it up with, oh, no, Age of Doom is coming out. That's going to finish the story, or it's going to pick up. So I'm interested to see. I mean, I almost don't want them to get off this out of Rockwood. I think it would be kind of...
I don't know if they'll ever get out of Rockwood. I don't think they will.
Do you think it's like a purgatory?
Yeah, I don't think that they will. I think the series will end with them just staying there. I don't think they'll ever go back.
I don't know how they
that would make it lose. Like, if honestly, if they went back, that would make it lose that mystique with it, I think. Because, like, if they went back, they would just be like a regular superhero story. I want them to stay there. And maybe someone discovers, like, because while they're in the town, they're trying to keep their powers and stuff a secret and who they are a secret. Like, I would rather have it where the people start to figure it out. And the consequences of that.
It's implied, I think, to an extent, that they don't even know if these are, like, real people. I think they talk about that. They're not even sure that this is, like, real. They don't even know. I mean, it's heavily hinted. I mean, I think she says plain as day that Madame Dragonfly knows what's going on. And she might even have had a hand in it.
Yeah, there's definitely an ulterior motive with Madame Dragonfly. That hasn't been explained yet.
But I kind of wonder what they're going to do there, because are these real people? Is this a simulation? Is this a purgatory? Are they in hell? Are they, what's going on? I just want to know, like, is the series just named Black Hammer just because he was the first one that ran through the thing? Or is he going to have a larger role? I don't know.
He never died.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, they almost made it sound like Black Hammer is like a reincarnation thing. Because she's, when, was it Louise? Is that her name? Or Lucy? Lucy Webber?
The daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
She says, I am Black Hammer. Like, she's like, no, I'm not. Or, God damn it, I got to find the wording that she says. But it leads me to believe that it's not just her taking on a moniker, that it's almost like a spirit or something, maybe, that she's possessed by now.
Yeah, maybe she'll get his memories too. I mean,
that's what I'm kind of thinking. But I also want to see what's going on with Taki, because Colonel Weird shoots him, kills him at the end. But Taki's still sentient, like it's his sentience is somewhere. I forget what it was, but I just remember that he somehow survived. So I gotta read Age of Doom, and the second half comes out in November.
When it starts up is November.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's six more issues. We got to get Ian on it.
I know. I've been trying to get Ian on more books, but he's all like, "Oh, it's not as good as Invincible," and I'm like, "Ian, there are other books than Invincible, my man."
he's got this thing where he's just like, I can't, he can only focus on one book at a time, and he just gets like tunnel vision with stuff, and I'm like, come on, you got it, like, you can read more than one book at a time. No, I'm gonna get confused, and I don't wanna, I'm like, you can read two books at a time, it's okay, you can read two different series. So I just gotta get him, gotta break him of that habit.
I know Ian won't listen to this, so I'm just gonna say it. I don't think he'll like this book.
I could see him not liking it. I think it took me a long time as a reader to get to the point where I like this kind of stuff. It took me years of just reading like Marvel and, you know, like main events and stuff like that for me to finally get tired of that and then moving on into this kind of book. So I could see maybe in a few years, but like right now, no, I don't think you'd like it.
I think it breaks. I just don't think, Ian, I love you, baby, but you know, I think Ian is just set in his, you know, superhero beat 'em up ways.
He'll get out of it.
Yeah, eventually.
He'll expand.
But, you know, he can always read Spawn. Spawn's always really good, you know.
No, we said that he's going to go in a better direction.
You know, Spawn is spiral Spawn. Further I'm plug, into. I'm going to plug it in right here. Plug it in right here. Spawn, right, well, Spawn issue 300 is coming out, so everyone should go get that.
All right. Well, let's. I think that about wraps this talk up. So let's talk before we send it off, before we crack the bottle and send the ship off into the ocean. Talon, what have you been into?
Ooh, anything?
Yeah, anything.
Ooh, TV, anything. Show,
movie,
ooh, okay.
Shoes, pants.
yeah.
Comforters. I don't know.
Well, I just want to plug a few things I've been streaming. Love, Death, and Robots. Everyone should go watch Love, Death, and Robots.
I yeah. That first one is great.
Have you watched it all?
I'm four in.
Oh, yeah. You got to. I finished
but it's
it
good.
In 2 days.
I was so shocked at how good that was. I really was not. I didn't know what to expect.
It and only gets better.
It reminded me of Animatrix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Animatrix. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I've got to finish it. I took a break to watch Umbrella Academy, and I got to go back to it now.
Oh, wait. You didn't finish Umbrella Academy?
No, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, good show. Also, yes. Dark Horse comic.
Yes.
However, I did not like the comic.
Also, Dark Horse comic that has weird chronological order.
Yeah, weird chronological order thing.
Seems like every Dark Horse comic is like that.
Another thing I've been streaming is I just started it last night. I'm two episodes in. It's very interesting, though. So bear with me here. It's called Chambers. It's a Netflix original.
You know, I saw that. I didn't watch it yet, but is it good?
Have you seen the trailer?
No. All I know is that it's a horror.
It is a horror TV show. It's very interesting because it's... I don't know if you're familiar with the show The OA.
I know what it is.
Okay. So it's a very cerebral horror show, and I watched the trailer, and I was like, hey, this seems right up my alleyway. And it's really different, and I'm really liking it so far. But keep in mind, I'm only two episodes in. But in those two episodes, I'm hooked into it. And let me plug one more thing. What have I been reading? I'm reading so many comics now. You know, I'm going to plug Spawn. And let me just tell you about Spawn, okay? Issue 295. A major character died, Kaven. I know you're going to be devastated when I tell you who died.
Witchblade.
No, not Witchblade.
The Darkness.
No. Keep going. It's a main Spawn character.
Spawn?
No, not Spawn. He already died.
The clown?
He's back now. Yes.
The
Violator died. He got his head cut off. He is dead now. He is not coming back.
Why can't I think of his name?
The Violator.
I know it's the Violator. I know it's the Violator. I'm trying to think of... no, I don't even... Now I totally
John...
John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo, yeah. So good. It's
I was
so
like,
good.
Come on. The Happening. The Happening. What's his name? The Happening.
But, I mean, Spawn is definitely, besides Venom, my favorite comic book character. But it's fastly approaching issue 300, which is huge because it's now the longest-running independent comic book of all time. Todd is still writing it. The art on... Yeah, I know. Wow. Because it's so good. The art on it right now is by Jason Sean Alexander, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he does a really cool charcoal drawing. Like, he draws all the stuff, it looks like, in charcoal, so it's very thick black lines, and it's very almost like rubbed, and it looks really cool. His art is amazing. I'm actually trying to save up so I can buy one of his pages that he did on Spawn right now. But yep, issue 300's coming up. If anyone, I know way back in the day of 6 months ago, I gave Ian a Spawn reading list, and because he was that he would try getting into Spawn, and Spawn really only has two jumping on points. It has issues 1 through 7, which is his origin, and then you can jump ahead to 250. So I know. And then but the reason why I bring this up is because right now, if anyone wants to jump on Spawn and you're like, hey, Talon, Spawn's a really cool character, he's cooler than Invincible, screw Ian, Spawn is the way to go, then what they're doing with these next two issues is they're doing the history of Spawn for issues 297, 298, and I believe 299 also. And it's basically recapping the entire series up till then. It's just a recap, the entire thing.
Yeah.
So it's like a perfect jumping on point.
So convoluted.
It's so great. It's so good.
I remember when I was a young lad and I picked up a Spawn book because the movie had just come out, and I was like, oh, cool, Spawn. I picked it up, and Spawn was in medieval times. I was like,
Oh
what the hell is
yeah,
this?
medieval Spawn. Hell yeah.
It's like, what is this?
He's a,
I'm
it's
trying to
like
read.
it's like Ghost Rider. That's the easiest way I can put it.
Oh yeah, I
Yeah.
figured out pretty quickly that it was something was going on, but yeah, I was like, what the hell? Well, I've got two things that I'll say. I have been on my quest to catch up on the comic books from the past 2 years, and I'm done. And I gotta say,
I read
for
all the
my
comics in the last 2 years,
no, did
every
Ian tell
single
you?
one of them.
Did Ian tell you? I rented 50 trades from the library.
Oh, Jesus, God. Oh, my God.
So I went through Black Hammer. I went through the Sixth Gun. I went through like the Thors, all like almost the
Okay,
entire
you know I'm
Jason
going to
Aaron
ask you the
run.
important question, right? You're
What?
still caught up on East of West, right?
I might be an issue behind.
Okay.
As you were saying it, I was thinking about, I was
Because
like,
there's
oh
only four
crap.
issues left and it's done.
Well, what issue is it on?
42?
I thought it was going to 52.
It's going ending at 46.
Oh, okay. Well, I better get caught
And then my
up.
other question, did you get Black Monday Murders in that trade pile?
No.
Ah, okay. Okay.
No, I only had so much patience.
What?
I read.
What?
I
It
read
is
all
dense.
of
It is dense.
Hellboy, all of Hellboy, caught up on Powers, 100
Gross.
Bullets. I mean,
Powers?
I've
Ugh.
so much stuff that I was reading. Anyways, I gotta say, I really love the Mighty Thor, the Jason Aaron, the Jane Foster
Is that...
Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it
Yep.
was good.
It's
It
so
was
good.
so good, and the art is phenomenal.
It's the
And I
same
love
artist
Jason
that's
Aaron.
doing War of the Realms right now, right? Yep.
It still doesn't hold a candle to Asad Rabik with him and Jason Aaron, because that was
Oh,
killer.
on Thor, God of Thunder.
Yeah, but
So good.
still
Oh,
pretty good.
so good. So
I just love that take that Jane Foster fighting as I loved her as Thor. I never thought a woman could hold a place of power or be compelling. But I'm just kidding. It was really good though. I was actually really surprised at how well it was written. But it's Jason Aaron, so we can't be too surprised. And then while we were talking about time travel and time travel not making sense, have you ever seen a movie named Primer?
A movie?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. Primer?
This is a movie that might be up Talon's alley. Primer
Primer. I'm looking it up
is.
right now.
It's an older movie, but it is one that pretty comprehensively explains the rules of time travel in its universe. But it's about two guys, and they're engineers, and they
Two guys.
accidentally two guys two brothers, they accidentally create time travel. And it's like very, I say practical, but I mean, it's time travel. So it's just, it's like how if they create their rules and then it's like they follow them to a T. And it's about these guys and kind of the ramifications of them messing with time travel. And it is, it's, oh gosh, I'm going to look up his name real quick. He did another movie recently, well, like 10 years ago now. But he, come on, here, Primer. No, my fingers are on all the wrong keys. P-P-R-I-M-E-R. Ian is hating this. Shane Carruth. And he did, what's it called, the... Upstream Color. That was his other movie that came out recently. But it's a really good movie. It's low budget.
It came out recently, 2013.
Is that when Upstream Color came out?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, that tells you my frame of reference.
Is this on Netflix?
Primer is, I think.
Or Amazon? Or Hulu?
I'm pretty sure Primer's on Netflix. But anyways, good series. And it's you can look up the graph, the Primer graph of explaining time travel. It's like super crazy, but it's it all lines up with the rules that they created. So anyways, that's all I have. So with that said, next episode, I keep doing that. Next episode, we will be doing a creator spotlight with a creator to be determined. And Ian will be back for that. So look forward to that. Thanks for listening. And please make sure to rate, review, subscribe on iTunes and anywhere you listen to our podcast. And make sure give us a follow. Currently, all the social media is at Earth919Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Earth919 Comic Podcast on Facebook. But that will be changing to Sensational Comic Bros here soon. So look out for that. And Talon, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at TAL0IV. Usually I tweet funny things at Ian, like I tweeted today that Invincible is overrated, and he got very upset, and it was hilarious.
You boys and your crazy arguments. Anyways, thanks for listening. Have a great week. Bye.
Read Spawn.